The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, October the 4th. It's time for a little Monday night preview episode. On this episode specifically, we'll be talking about gambling DFS prop preview of the Raiders-Chargers Monday night game. Promises to be hopefully be a shootout. And in the feed, you can listen to the Week 4 recap. We'll also recap Monday Night Football live on YouTube. If you like this podcast, if you like the Super Friends, if you want to watch us go live on Monday night, go to youtube.com/pick6, subscribe, and you'll get an alert when we go live, or just wait until the game ends and then go check it out. And I mean, preferably subscribe and like the content, but go check it out. Joining me to break down Monday Night Football, Tyler Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, Will? How you doing?
I almost don't want to drop like a.k.a. Sully because you're just Sully, but I mean, I don't want to, you know.
That's fine.
Tyler Sully on Twitter, is that right?
Yeah, you got it. That's fine.
What's up? How we doing?
Good. Tired. It was a long night last night. I was at Gillette for Pat's Bucks. So moving a little slow today, a lot of coffee, but we're good.
Yeah. It's 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
It's painful reality. Oh, I'm glad they went to 17. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
What was the vibe like in Gillette?
I was telling Debo before we jumped on, like that felt like a playoff game, and it was really kind of like, you know, I covered Super Bowl 52 the week leading into it, but I never went to the game. That was probably the biggest game, not, you know, maybe even playoffs, because I only covered.
Was the Eagles one?
Yeah, that was the Eagles one, and I didn't go to the game. So technically, I don't say I covered it.
Were you in Minneapolis?
I was in. Yeah, I was there for the week.
Did you take the game?
Yeah. No,
it was a good game.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, it was great for someone who's not from New England.
Right. I guess that's true.
But I mean, honestly, it was really kind of electric to begin, and then it kind of, you know, a little bit boring in patches. But once Mac started to kind of, you know, get in that groove and complete 19 straight, and Brady coming back and, you know, matching with field goals, it was pretty competitive. It was you know, they were feeling it.
It was a great game. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that on the recap pod, how people were, you know, like Pete Blackburn was like, yep, yeah, this game's boring. It's like, well, I mean, it's not like bombs away shootout, but it's pouring down rain in New England. Like,
right. And, you know, it was, I thought it was going to be, you know, what I was really looking at was how the Patriots, Belichick, were going to defend Brady. And, you know, that's, we saw Judon kind of going off the edge and really, you know, making an impact. I thought it was interesting from that standpoint too.
Yeah. They disguised coverages and did a good job. I mean, they held Brady to a pretty bad game. Anyway, we should have called you after the game, but I guess you were
busy. That's okay. I was kind of,
if you want to use your football expertise to win big time cash prizes, now is your chance with Football Picker from CBS Sports. Correctly pick the whole slate of games, and you can win the $100,000 jackpot this week and every week of the season by visiting cbssports.com/picks. Even if you don't win the weekly jackpot, or no one wins the weekly jackpot, we're still giving away $1,000 of guaranteed cash to the winner each week and $5,000 to the season long champ. So don't wait. Make your picks and compete for the $100,000 jackpot by visiting cbssports.com/picks today. Raiders at Chargers. Chargers -3 over under 51.5. How are you looking at this game, Sully?
It's been a theme where the undefeated teams have been going down. I think we're going to see another one on Monday night. I like the Chargers here. I like laying the points. To me, they are just a more well-rounded team. I know, obviously, the Raiders, they've had some impressive wins, you know, two overtime wins throughout the year here. They were able to beat Pittsburgh. But I just like what I'm seeing from the Chargers and Justin Herbert specifically a lot this season. I mean, he was impressive, obviously, in his rookie season, the greatest rookie season from a quarterback we've ever seen. But we're talking about Justin Herbert, where he had 4 touchdowns last week, and he even left touchdowns on the table in early portions of the season, whether it was, you know, penalties being called back that were going to be scores and things of that nature. To me, I just love the way that they're working right now. I don't love their defense against the run. That hasn't been great, but they have been able to hold likes of Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes to pretty low yardage totals throughout these last few weeks here. So to me, I just like the way they're cruising right now, even though they, you know, they technically have an inferior record.
Yeah. Raiders are undefeated. I mean, yeah, Broncos and Panthers are undefeated too, but they played maybe a little bit easier teams. And certainly, you know, the Raiders have, Derek Carr's playing great football, but they've squeaked by in a couple of spots. Hey, how you got to stack wins. That's how you do it. You don't complain with, you know, whether the wins are close or not. 51% of the tickets in this game as of Sunday, according to Caesar Sports on Twitter, at Caesar Sports, 51% of the tickets on the spread are on the Raiders. 64% of the dollars on the spread are on the Chargers. Pretty big disparity there. And then with the total, I don't think this is shocking per se. 83% of the tickets written at Caesar Sports are on the over, but 66% of the dollars wagered are on the under. That's kind of how that goes from a, you know, public versus, you know, sharp versus square, whatever you want to call it, like public versus, you know, private. I don't know. I can't always forget the term. But
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's right. Private schools. But I mean, basically, the public prefers the Raiders and loves the over. Again, not surprising, but pretty close split. It's a 3-point game between two division rivals. Shouldn't be shocking that the public's basically down the middle on that. More money though on the Chargers, and then a big disparity towards the under. So you could, I think I look at this game and I see Raiders Chargers, and I think over.
Yeah,
like that is my first instinct, and it's hard to get off of that, honestly. And it's I wouldn't want to get in the way of the under, but I do think this is probably a slightly inflated total because of the teams involved, because we've seen the Raiders, even in the game against the Ravens, where it looked like that game was going to be a stone cold under, suddenly just explodes into points. These two teams can, you know, on the other hand, you know, the Cowboys and Chargers game should have been a shootout, and there were just some flubs down near the red zone. So I guess that could potentially happen when you have a high total. Anything over 50 is a high total. You know, we could see a couple of things, you know, a fumble near the, you know, fumble in the red zone, an interception as you're cruising in for a touchdown. There's a lot of different ways you can get off pace for a total in the 50s. There's also a lot of different ways where you could see a low scoring first half and just an explosion in the second half, and the over gets there. So my brain says under, my heart says over. I'm not sure how to reconcile that. I would probably take first half under and then look to come back and expect to see more points in the second half, sort of as these teams are pressing to try and win this game and what is ultimately a big divisional matchup.
Yeah. I like that strategy with the first half under and then, you know, hoping for a big kind of splash offensively in the second half. I do like the over in this one, too. I'm kind of in that same boat with you.
I don't mind being a donkey, by the way. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have a Raiders offense that, again, a few overtimes that inflate the point totals, you know, going into this, but they're averaging 30 points a game this year. The Chargers, again, they have around like 22 points a game this season. But when you're talking about a guy like Justin Herbert, he can go off pretty much whenever he decides he wants to. And the Raiders, I believe, if I have it right in front of me, actually, the over is 5-1 in their last 6 games in the division in the AFC West. So they theoretically, you know, they have a history of going over in these divisional games. So to me, you know, again, I like a little bit of a slower start and then it builds into a bigger game, like you said. But ultimately, I do think this game goes over just because, again, I have faith in those quarterbacks.
The Chargers are actually, the Chargers are 22nd in DVOA coming into week 4, of course. So, you know, it hadn't been recalculated. And they don't. So it hadn't been recalculated for this week's performance. The Raiders 11th in DVOA. They are ninth against the run, 12th against the pass, while the Chargers are 15th against the pass and 31st against the run. That would actually be the argument for why you take this under, is that in a similar fashion to Tampa Bay being a pass funnel, the Chargers have been a bit of a run funnel, and have you been able to run on the Chargers, but you have not been able to pass on them very well at all. You know, if you look at some of the numbers produced, Terry McLaurin, 4 catches, 62 yards, no touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 5 catches, 56 yards, no touchdowns. Amari Cooper, 3 catches, 24 yards, no touchdowns in weeks 1 through 3 against the Chargers defense. That is, you know, if you're loading up Henry Ruggs, you know, you got to be concerned about that. Same thing with Hunter Renfrow. So we'll talk about those props in a minute. But I mean, I do think it's possible that we could see the Raiders pound the ball, force the Chargers to try and stop the run, and then we'll see how much passing the Raiders get into based on what the Chargers are able to do on offense. Because if the Chargers get a lead, the Raiders are going to have to throw. And, you know, so if the Raiders have a lead, it probably plays towards the under, I would think, because they can really get in and run the ball and move the clock and maybe get down and get some field goals. You have the Chargers throwing, but I just think it's worth noting. Okay, so I guess I would go Chargers in the under, but I don't – again, I think I would play first half under.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope to get that in the barn. And the first half under at Caesars is 25. Yeah, 25 and a half. I like that first half under a lot because you've got your 3 touchdowns and a field goal there with a point and a half to spare. And, you know, obviously 4 touchdowns kills you or, you know, any other points. But that's a lot of scoring in the first half that could at least be tentative in terms of how they approach it.
My only concern with that would be is just, you know, obviously the Chargers are susceptible against the run. But are the Raiders the type of team that are going to commit to, you know, pounding the ball for an entire game? It's not typically Gruden's MO. You know, that's not something that he, you know, I could see him just being like, hey, listen, we're in prime time, Monday Night Football, game I used to be a color analyst for. Let's light it up and go from there, especially when his quarterback's, you know, rolling as hot as Derek Carr is right now into this game. It's well over, you know, 300 yards passing. So, you know, he leads the league in passing yards. So, you know, it's I do wonder if that's a little wrinkle into why that might go over.
Yeah, no, it's entirely possible. But so here's my thing. If, let's say, Gruden says, all right, no, we're passing. I think it might struggle and it might end up being more punts. And then all of a sudden the Chargers could lean into some of, for me, when I think about this first half, I can picture some longer drives, some stall outs, punts, and, you know, where these teams are feeling each other out a little bit. Whereas once you just this, I just don't want to bet this full game under.
Yeah.
And it's 10 to 7 and a half. You got your feet up, hands behind your head. You're like, you did it again, Brinson, you genius. And then all of a sudden there's like a 28-point quarter and your head's spinning and you don't know what's happening. So I that's why I would lean towards the first half under and then maybe reevaluate. And look, obviously if you take the full game under and the first half over is blown out of the water, you're probably in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
Because if they're at 28 points in the first, 26 or more points in the first half, you're probably looking at a situation where it goes way, way over the total. Now, having said all that, let's take a break. And when we come back, I will tell you that only to bet over on prop bets.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Should probably be better about not betting all overs on prop bets. And I may reverse course on one of the ones that I sent in to you guys. You actually have some, you have an under. We're just not under guys, Sully. That's the problem.
Listen, we like offense. We like things. We don't want to put a ceiling on somebody.
8 overs. What's the matter with me? I do think, though, the one that I'll take first off is Mike Williams over receiving yards. It's 74 and a half. That is short by like 10 yards, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he's been on fire for them. You know, I think he has, you know, he's been obviously a touchdown machine, but he has had this kind of rejuvenation with Justin Herbert this year. So certainly,
well,
you know,
he's been going off. I mean, you're not wrong. I think it's not even a rejuvenation, though. It's that they have changed his role.
Yeah.
So Mike Williams has gone from this run deep, try and like high point a ball and catch a touchdown guy to someone that is really more of a focal point of the offense in general. And a target machine, and Justin Herbert trust him. They're having his average depth of target, ADOT, is way lower than it was last year, and as a result, he's just seeing more targets. He's seeing more catchable balls. He's really more like a true number one wide receiver. And I think you could even suggest that Mike Williams, who's 74.5 over under, and Keenan Allen, 82.5. Not that he's replacing Keenan Allen or Keenan Allen's replaceable, but they're using them more as they're not. Complimentary. I mean, they are complimentary, but they're not trying to make one guy one thing and one guy like A and one guy B. They're two receivers they're using in similar fashion, which is a much better offensive game plan than running Mike Williams deep on one side and having Keenan Allen beat man coverage on the other. But give Justin Herbert multiple options, and they're done.
And one way to point to that too, and again, just how they're using them in a very similar way, they basically have the same target share in the red zone. I think Keenan Allen might have 9, and then Williams has 8. You know what I mean? They are looking at them in a very, very similar margin. It's not just, like you said, an old sense where it's just, hey, we're going to chuck it deep to Williams, and then we're going to kind of dink and dunk it with Keenan Allen. They've changed it up a little bit. And again, it's really worked out for their offense.
Yes, it certainly has. I'm trying to find his actual ADOT. So I'm on the over there for Keenan Allen receiving yards. And again, the one thing that I want to be, if you're going to be careful about it, when we think about how the Chargers are a run funnel. So I had sent in the Henry Ruggs over receiving yards. 44.5 still seems a little short for me, but I'm going to scratch that one off. Okay. I don't mind, however, going over Darren Waller, 5.5 receptions and 68.5 receiving yards. You know, that's a guy that is just going to be a focal point of this offense. And if you think there's, you know, look, if this game ends 17-14, these overs probably aren't hitting.
Yep.
But if there's any passing whatsoever, and Darren Waller's working in a different fashion than you're going to see Henry Ruggs, who, you know, maybe working deeper on the outside against some of these defensive backs that have been causing problems for opposing offenses. Now, the one concern with Darren Waller's over would be that they just basically take Derwin James and have Derwin James shadow Darren Waller, which I don't know if they'll do that. If they do that, it's a uno grande problema for these overs on the Darren Waller. So that's the only thing that would cause me a little hesitation. But I think those numbers, 5.5 catches and 68.5 receiving yards, probably a little shy for Darren Waller.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily correlate, but Mike Gesicki did have a pretty good game against this team last week. I believe he might have had, I believe he had 10 catches, I think, if that's true. But again, you know, Waller, a focal point of this offense, we've seen it time and time again.
But no, Waller was against the Raiders.
Right. Right. What do you say?
Waller's plays for, you just got him flipped.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine. I was like, oh yeah, the Dolphins and Chargers definitely played last week. Yeah. And then I was like, wait, did the Dolphins and Raiders play? I don't remember that game. Anywho, continue on.
And so for me, you know, I'll just go to my under prop here. I'll go with Carr under 282.5 passing yards. Like we were saying earlier, you know, this Chargers secondary has been pretty good. Again, the run is a little bit in question. And if the Raiders do decide to just say, hey, listen, we're going to exploit this weakness in the Chargers defense, and we're going to run the ball pretty effectively, that's going to limit his opportunities. Not only that, but we've seen this Chargers secondary really limit elite quarterbacks so far in this league. You know, Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes over these last 2 weeks have been under this prop for Derek Carr. So to me, again, he leads the league in passing yards, had a great start to the year, but we're talking about a much different secondary that he's going to be facing tonight. And it's maybe an offensive attack now that the Raiders look to get the ball out of his hands and out of him throwing the football.
And by the way, even though Mike Gesicki played the Raiders, you know, the Chargers played the Chiefs. And this guy named Travis Kelce had 7 catches for 104 yards. He didn't actually score. So you were right.
You're right.
You just had you.
I've had a long night, and so I'm just trying to get the wires crossed.
Not on this podcast. I yeah, I was like prying my eyeballs open when I did a CBS hit this morning, or CBS News hit this morning. And so just looking, you know, obviously the Chiefs are a different beast, but I mean, yeah, the Raiders are a very good offense. Kelce, 11 targets, 7 catches, 104 yards. Again, as I mentioned, Tyreek Hill, 5 catches, 56 yards. They're going to limit that explosiveness. Yeah. And so maybe that's why you get a little worried about Ruggs, but you could go to those Waller props. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 17 carries, 100 yards. Darrell Williams, 7 for 28. So you can run on this Chargers team pretty easily. And am I misremembering this, but did Dalton Schultz have a monster game against the –
That's possible. I feel like we talked about him.
The Cowboys Chargers game is just low scoring. That's right.
Okay.
There's nobody really had a big game. I mean, CeeDee Lamb had 8 catches for 81 yards, but by and large, it was Tony Pollard, 13 carries, 109 yards, Zeke, 16 carries, 71 yards. Mm-hmm. This is how you attack the Chargers. You know, you run the ball on them. And you look at Washington as well. They had, Antonio Gibson, 20 carries, 90 yards. And nobody did anything in the receiving game. Logan Thomas, 3 catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown. So I think the way the Raiders will attack will be in the running game and then with Darren Waller, particularly on play action. I don't know that they'll be exceptionally greedy and try to go to Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs. I don't like the Ruggs number enough to go under, but I do think your point about the passing game makes a lot of sense. They will not hang Derek Carr out to dry. As well as he's played, they will want to, you know, try and make life easier for him, I would anticipate. The other two overs I've got on the Chargers, and I think it's okay to attack the Chargers over in the passing game. Yeah. Jalen Guyton over 17 and a half receiving yards. Jalen Guyton is a much better player than people think and is much more appreciated by the Chargers he's in his third year now with the Chargers. He has 5-2 and 1 targets respectively in the last 3 weeks. Now, of course, the snap count's not crazy, 65, 70, and 62, but you know, that's pretty good for a guy who's, you know, at best the number 3 on the pecking order. And all he has to do is catch one ball. We're looking for one catch to Jalen Guyton. They scheme him up plenty of times. I like Jalen Guyton over receiving yards. I also have listed on the overs Austin Eckler over 38 and a half receiving yards. He's just Austin Eckler just sees targets.
That's a smash play. I have that too. I saw it last night at 37 and a half. It's just, you know, obviously it's going up. Like that one to me makes all the sense in the world. I think he's gone over that number pretty much every game he's played this season.
He didn't have a single catch against Washington, which is super weird.
Right. Outside of that game, he's averaged, you know, he's got 15 targets over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 56 and a half receiving yards over that stretch. I mean, you know, take away the Washington game. That's an outlier. This is the role that he's in.
He got hurt in the preseason.
Right.
And you look at the snap count, 58 week one, 63 week two, 74 week three. This is their every down back. You know, he's just going to, yeah. I mean, like that's his role, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a smash play. And the other one that I want with the Chargers is Herbert, the over. I had it at 27 and a half completions. I want that over at -105. The Raiders are averaging about 26 completions per game. Herbert's gone over his number, this prop tonight, twice over his 3 games. I just like where he's at right now. I do think that they're going to pass a little bit more against this team. So to me, Herbert over that number, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm just peeking at the running back catches for the opponents of the Raiders. Miles Gaskin had 3 catches for 9 yards, which is not great, but you know, the Dolphins attempted to target the running back position there. Najee Harris, receiving machine, right? He had 5 catches on 5 targets for 43 yards and a touchdown against the Raiders in week 2. That's a good sign, obviously. And then in week 1 against the Ravens, who really don't even throw to their running backs at all, we still saw Tyson Williams. He used to be a popular running back in fantasy circles. Inactive, had 4 catches, 4 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. If Austin Eckler gets somewhere between 4 and 6 targets, he's going to go over 40 receiving yards, in my opinion, just because of his skill set, how they set him up, and his ability to get yards after the catch. So smash play. We both love that one.
Yeah.
All right. So to recap on the props. Wait, do you have any more? Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay. You've got Derek Carr under passing yards.
Yep.
Herbert over completions.
Yep.
Austin Eckler over receiving yards. Oh, and you have Hunter Renfrow over receptions.
Yeah. I have over receptions again. He's just someone that I think is going to be looked at a ton in this passing game, because if we're talking about them trying to take away those deep shots, maybe take away Waller with Derwin James, you have a guy like Renfrow who's just been that guy for Derek Carr. He's second on the team in targets, only looking up to Darren Waller right now. I just think that that one, again,
and the way he works in that offense, he's more than likely going to be underneath.
I'm not saying he's going to light it up in terms of yardage totals, but he'll get the volume that'll maybe get us, that I expect will get us over this number.
Yeah, I like that. And I think if you go back and look at really quickly, see, Mecole Hardman for the Chiefs had four targets, three catches, 33 yards. I'm just sort of thinking about guys who are working secondary out. Byron Pringle, six targets. DeMarcus Robinson, two targets. They're just working towards these secondary options against a dangerous Chargers pass defense. CeeDee Lamb operating out of the slot plenty, had a lot of targets against and catches against the Chargers. And then for Washington, let's see who ended up. It was McLaurin, and but Washington didn't really utilize that same sort of passing role. Anyway, that's the point being, is that they're going to run the ball and eat up chunk plays. Not chunk plays. They're going to run the ball and work it underneath in the passing game is the expectation from us. If we're wrong, of course, then, what are you going to do? First touchdown props. Oh, and I've got – sorry, my props are Mike Williams over 74.5, Herbert over 302 yards. I just think he's going to throw the ball a bunch. Yep. Eckler over receiving yards, Jalen Guyton over receiving yards, and then Darren Waller over receptions. And I would take the receiving yards, too, if it's under 70. First touchdown props, you and I both correctly have Darren Waller here at 8.5-1. He should be like 5-1.
Yep. He's been pretty silent over the last few weeks. I think the last time he scored was in the opener in that overtime win against the Ravens. So to me, again, he's due. He's that kind of guy. They're going to look at him in all of these, scoring scenarios. And he's someone that can rip it off from the 40. I mean, it's not even that he needs to be a red zone threat. He's someone that can break it open from a pretty deep, deep part in the field, too. So it's not like you're just waiting for them to get into that red area and find him. He's someone who can break a game wide open in that regard. So to me, again, this is way too low for somebody of his caliber against the, a secondary that's been pretty good, but ultimately someone who can kind of break, he's one of those kind of guys, those talents that can break these kind of defenses.
I would say too, on Caesars right now, if you're betting there, and that's our, our odds partner at Caesars, at Caesars Sports, don't hold off on betting it for the moment, because it looks like it's mispriced, not the Waller thing. They don't have any Raiders running backs built into these odds because we don't know. Josh Jacobs didn't rule it out yet, right?
Questionable, I believe, still.
He's still questionable. And by all accounts, it's a long shot for him to play. But Peyton Barber's not on here either. And so Austin Eckler is plus 480. Mike Williams plus 650. Keenan Allen plus 675. If you put Raiders running backs into this list, those guys should be a little bit better value, I would think. It pushes them down. I was having Peyton Barber's be like 15-1 because I was scrolling down and didn't see him. Barber is a guy that I would want to hit if Josh Jacobs is out. And Kenyon Drake appears to be one of the most bizarre free agent signings we've seen in some time.
We said it at the time. That one's a head scratcher, especially when you think, from a fantasy perspective, all right, Josh Jacobs down, let's plug in Kenyon Drake, and here comes Peyton Barber.
Although they'll use Kenyon Drake. They'll run him 40 times against the Chargers for some reason.
It is a Bruce Arians, Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette type of scenario.
Yeah, notably fickle, John Gruden. So the plays I had looked at for first touchdown were Waller, Renfrow. I'm going to take Ruggs off. And then I think Herbert and Carr at 18-1 and 30-1 are good bets, because these are two athletic quarterbacks who are not, they're not afraid to use them in the goal line on bootlegs. You can just picture them diving in. So if you get 15-1 or better on either on Herbert and then 25-1 or better on Carr, those should both be in your first touchdown portfolio. You had your lottery prop, Darren Waller, first touchdown, 8.5-1. Again, wait and see what happens with those Raiders running backs. I got a lottery prop here. Austin Eckler, first Chargers touchdown. Henry Ruggs, first Raiders touchdown, 35-1.
Ooh, don't hate that.
Don't bet a lot on it.
Yeah, don't hate it, though.
Don't hate it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's talk some DFS. Let's see if I can – old Debo – I don't know if Debo is able to – share my screen, but we'll try.
Hang on.
I almost flashed my DM. I did flash my DMs briefly last night on the YouTube thing. I was trying to share.
Go to the 46-minute mark of last night's YouTube if you want to see Will's DM.
I double check. There's nothing that you would care about other than just like be like, what does this guy do? Well, that's weird. There's no players there. Huh. DraftKings is acting up for some reason.
Interesting.
It's not showing up any. It's not like populating at all. Okay. Well, that's fun.
Well, I can probably fill it in on my phone if the, you know, it's not the most efficient way to do it, but
no, I'm just saying it's like it's annoying that they're not even. You see what I'm saying? They're not even showing up.
You sure they didn't just ban you? That could totally be the case.
Absolutely, could be banned. All right, let's just talk our way through it. Sorry, sure. If you're watching on YouTube that we don't have the DraftKings setup in there. Just, you know, internet's gonna internet. Looking at captains, Justin Herbert, 16-8, quite pricey. 16-2 for Derek Carr. DraftKings gets it. They understand. They get the Mike Williams love. He's number three. He's 15-3, Sully, as a captain. Austin Eckler, 14-4. Darren Waller, 13-8. Keenan Allen, 13-2. Josh Jacobs, 11-4. Questionable. Peyton Barber, 10-2. Henry Ruggs, 9-6. Those are the skill position and or quarterback guys before you get to the backup quarterbacks, which, you know, once upon a time people used to use Marcus Mariota as a captain. And somebody won $1 million doing that last year when Derek Carr got hurt. Incredible. If you're rostering a captain, where are you going first?
Well, obviously you look at the quarterbacks, but it's really tough to fit a really competitive roster when you have one of those guys on there. To me, I'm looking at either Austin Eckler, or we can wait and see what happens with the Raiders running back situation. We've talked about it pretty much the entire podcast. The Chargers defense is susceptible to the run. And if we're expecting Josh Jacobs to be out, you're looking at Peyton Barber. And you could place him in there at, well, what is it now? I believe it's only, you know, just around 10K.
He is 10.2K for a captain spot.
You know, you can really start to have a pretty in-depth lineup with him in there. So to me, again, wait and see. I would wait and see what happens with the Raiders running back situation. Because if you all of a sudden you can get a guy at that price with that type of a matchup, you know, again, it, you know, it'll probably be somewhat high ownership because people will be rushing to make the similar play. But I do like that scenario there as well. Because, again, it's really just tough to get those quarterbacks in to have a fully in-depth roster.
Yeah. So when I'm looking at how I want to build out a roster, I actually think, and this is kind of crazy, and I'm just going to peek over DraftKings just see if we can get this freaking thing to work. Maybe this could just be my computer, too. Because it's entirely possible it's my computer. I've been having major computer issues. Yep. It looks like it's working on my laptop. Stinking. Desktop. I actually think there's a good case to be made. This is kind of, I think this is contrarian, but Mike Williams is your captain.
Okay.
So he is, as I mentioned, he is 15.3K to be your captain. The reason I would make the case for this is that if you, I cannot imagine a scenario in which most people, your average user, and remember, this is how many people, you know, 200,000 people in this contest, $1 million to first. They're doing $1 million to every single winner. You know, it's incredible. And they're the ones making the money. But if you're spending on a captain, are you, as the average fan or average player, are you more likely to spend 15.3 on Mike Williams or go up to 16.2 for Derek Carr, 16.8 for Justin Herbert, or go down to 14.4 or 13.8 for Austin Eckler or Darren Waller, or even 13.2 for Keenan Allen?
Right, right.
I think Mike Williams is priced in a way that people will avoid him because he isn't considered by the average fan or average DraftKings player to be the alpha receiver on the Chargers, even though it's kind of tilted that way. You can save almost $1,000, you save $900 and go down to Austin Eckler, or you can, again, save almost, you know, like $1,500, $1,800 and go down to freaking Darren Waller, who is, by all accounts, a catch machine for the Raiders. So I want to go Mike Williams as captain, and then I'm going to have Herbert in there at 11-2 in the flex spot. I then have to make a decision about what the pairing you want with Eckler, Waller, and Derek Carr, because I believe... You go Carr, You can get one more. You can get Eckler in there as well, but then that's when things start to get eaten up pretty big.
Right.
Since I've got the Williams and Herbert, you at that point I can fill it out with Jalen Guyton, who I clearly love, and then
at 2400, that's a great price for him too.
What's that?
At 2400, he's a great price. Great
price for him, exactly. And then you can go with then you have to have somebody under $1,000. Josh Palmer, I don't hate at all for $400, or Justin Jackson for $200. You're gonna with those guys, you need to catch some kind of. You don't need much to pay it off.
Right.
It's one long catch to Josh Palmer at $400, and he is paying that off. So I'd be intrigued by that. Also, if you get Justin Jackson gets a couple red zone carries, all of a sudden, he gets a touchdown and he's paid that off. Josh Palmer, 17, 25, and 15% of the snaps the first 3 weeks, just three targets, but it's a guy who can be a deep threat, rookie out of Tennessee. They took him in the third round. They like him a lot. I don't hate him at that price tag. Again, you just need something to pay off. 14, 23, and 11% of the snaps the first 3 weeks for Justin Jackson. He has had 1, 4, and 2 carries over the first 3 weeks, two targets. So, I mean, you could get there pretty easily at that low price tag. Or if you want, you could bail on Derek Carr there. Take Eckler out and Derek Carr, and we're going to go Waller, Keenan Allen, stay with Jalen Guyton, and then you can, if you wanted, you could add Foster Moreau. Ooh, actually, then you can take out Keenan Allen and get up to Eckler. So with $900 left over, Mike Williams, captain, Herbert, Waller, Eckler, Guyton, and Moreau. So we're targeting the Raiders tight ends. We're thinking underneath passes. I kind of want to get Peyton Barber in there, though. Should we get?
Well, I can give you one too. Obviously, we're talking about Mike Williams, but if we're going away from that one, and if we're looking at a different captain, if you want to look at Austin Eckler, you can put together a somewhat interesting lineup where Eckler's your captain. You have Peyton Barber as one of your flexes. Obviously, wait to see what happens with Josh Jacobs on that. Guyton, Herbert, Renfrow, and Waller. You still, you're fading the wide receivers for the Chargers. You're fading Derek Carr, but you're still getting his production theoretically with Waller and Renfrow. You just hope that we don't have a Henry Ruggs 40-yard touchdown that'll break you. Right. But ultimately, that's a way where you can still get the quarterback action a little bit. You obviously get an elite tight end, and you have Derek Carr's top two targeted guys through the first 3 weeks of the season. And you have a running back in the Raiders that is going, if he starts, is going to get a pretty juicy matchup in the Chargers. And then all of a sudden you have, the number one running back, in fantasy football in terms of PPR, in my opinion, and Austin Eckler when he's healthy. And you have a lottery ticket in Guyton. Obviously, you fit in Herbert there as well. But yeah, that one to me, I don't think is terrible.
Okay, so here's the one I ended up finagling around with. It's a 3-3. I'm going, actually, it's a 4-2. It's Herbert. Williams at captain. I got Herbert in there as well. I got Peyton Barber. Is it Foster or Fabian Moreau? I can never remember which one. The Moreau guy, Darren Waller, and then Hunter Renfrow in there. So it's a four Raiders, two Chargers. Basically, it's working it to Mike Williams, and then the Raiders are going to be running a bunch and throwing underneath to those guys. So that's sort of how I'm going to play it. I'm not saying fade Derek Carr because he's not good, but I think you can get away with fading Derek Carr because he's not going to be taking shots down the field. He's going to be throwing it underneath, or they're going to be running the ball. I don't really hate the idea of going Peyton Barber and Kenyon Drake in there. Those are, you need to know about Josh Jacobs, obviously, before you do any of that. But, you can have a lineup where it sets up with, the underneath guys for the Raiders, their running backs, and then you bring it back with, in theory, what happens is the Chargers are throwing to try and play catch up in the second half and things get a little loose, but the Raiders never really try to stretch the field, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense to me. I have a few others in terms of how you want to construct a lineup, if you want to get weird with it.
We need to have our contrarian team that neither of us drafts and then almost wins $1 million.
Well, I mean, that's obviously, that has happened way too many times for us. If we want to go a little bit off the beaten path and really try to find value, to really fit in the quarterbacks and what we can do, maybe Hunter Renfroe as a captain. Let's just play this one out. I do have Hunter Renfroe in one lineup that I constructed. Renfroe the captain. Again, the number one targeted wide receiver on the Raiders. If we believe that this isn't going to be that deep shot passing game with, you know, Edwards and and Ruggs and things like that, you could see a lot of underneath stuff with Hunter Renfroe, where he's piling up a ton of catches and piling up a ton of yards. And if you have him as your captain, you can fit in both quarterbacks, Derek Carr and Justin Herbert. You can fit in Austin Eckler, and you can fit in Waller. And if you put in Josh Palmer at $400, that to me is an interesting one, where it's, you know, again, you're getting a lot of the action, and it's really a big fade of the deep game. You know, this is one of those things where you might be looking at an under. If you believe that it's going to be an under, this might be the lineup for you, because you're eliminating both the wide receivers, you know, on pretty much, you know, you're eliminating the Chargers wide receivers, you're eliminating the deep threats with Las Vegas. So to me, that's one to kind of keep an eye on if you're looking at an under for this game too.
I would say too, if you wanted to take the under angle as well, you could go, you said Renfroe is the captain, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You could also go Chargers defense as the captain.
Okay.
If you believe the Chargers defense is good and you think this game is going to go under, because on DraftKings, you are penalized for points scored. You are not penalized for yardage given up. So the Raiders can run wild up and down the field, but you're not going to get crushed. You know, if they generate some turnovers in the passing game, or if they just hold them to field goals, you won't be killed. And so you could then come back, plug in Daniel Carlson at 3,800, who's the Raiders kicker. This is the bend but don't break sort of setup.
Yeah.
You grab Peyton Barber. Those are your first three guys. I mean, I guess you go Raiders defense too. I don't know. But you can go Herbert, Mike Williams. I mean, you can do whatever you want basically with this setup if you go with Chargers defense as captain. And at the very least, if you went Raiders defense as well, for a minute, you'd be splitting $1 million.
Yeah, for a minute, you can be on a beach somewhere, drinking a pina
colada. No, you're gonna chop it with like 200 people. But I mean, you always see this.
People can dream. You can still dream. You can still dream.
People will do this golf. They will build a golf DFS lineup with the first six guys off the tee box on Thursday morning, so that way they can take a screenshot and say, "Look, I'm winning $100,000." Which is just the stupidest thing of all time.
That is, I know how to waste money, and that seems that's like a great way to, that is a great way to waste money.
They gave like $9,000 left under the cap, and like they still just did that because like they want to say like, "Look at me, I have all the money." It's very, very stupid. All right, Sully, I think we covered it all. I would add, just trying to think if there's any sleepers we missed on the backside. As I mentioned, Josh Palmer, Gabe Neighbors sometimes get some action. Zay Jones might be a popular cheap option. I don't know. I would probably stay away. I'd rather go Jalen Guyton at 2,400 than Zay Jones. Zay Jones has more fantasy points per game, but it's because he scored that walk-off touchdown against the Raiders on Monday night. Jared Cook, sneaky little option at 4,400. Anywho, that's I think that's the show. We once again managed to stretch the single game preview to 40 minutes, but we had tons of actionable info. Let's stay hot. Sully, as always, a pleasure to see you.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.